Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unk, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unk podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unk, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
We are going to hit you with a classic this week. This is a cloacal classic, actually, because we're going to take you back to dinosaur sex.
That's right. I also like to call this our dinosaur hot tub time machine.
Yeah.
Because we try to figure out how did dinosaurs do it. So we bring this to you guys. And by the way, I wanted to mention that this is the podcast that, or rather the episode, that is the reason why I have a great sign in my cubicle that says Cloaca Ave. Thank you, Coop. I cherish that. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
This is a perfectly legitimate collision of the grown-up world and the childhood world, is the question of dinosaurs having sex with one another.
Ugh.
Yeah.
See, even right there, I'm like, really? My friend Brontosaurus, I know, Apatosaurus, but I will continue to call Brontosaurus Brontosaurus. Because, again, from my childhood, I cannot imagine Brontosaurus kicking boots, you know?
Yeah, because these were our friends when we were kids, you know? These little plastic dinosaurs. If you're like me, you memorized all their names, or a lot of their names. And you had a big box full of them, and you'd get them out, and they'd wrestle each other, and they'd bite each other, and the T-Rex would stab, the Triceratops would stab the T-Rex in the gut, and the T-Rex would try and bite the back of the Triceratops' head. Good times.
Yeah, those were good times, and never did you imagine that one day that you would go on the internet and just do a simple search for, like, dinosaur mating and find a photo gallery of dinosaurs doing it.
Yeah. And it's interesting because with normal animals, I mean, everybody grows up, say, loving, like, little girls love horses and guys love lizards and stuff, and other animals as well. And then you go to the zoo and something weird is liable to happen, like, especially if you go to, like, the Georgia Aquarium. Which is awesome place, but occasionally you'll see one of the beluga whales, slip out a corkscrewed penis and go chasing one of the other whales around, and you know there are children watching, and to paraphrase Arrested Development, you know, bam, I'm all grown up now because I've seen that.
Yeah.
So
since you just had that experience, right, that
yes,
Georgia Aquarium,
yeah,
you feel like we could probably talk about dino sex.
Yeah, it's because we've gotten to the point where, I mean, where we have enough data to sort of ask these questions anyway, if yeah. not necessarily answer them. And also, reproduction is a vital, if not the vital, part of any organism's life.
Well, and if you think about dinosaurs too, I mean, they primarily dominated the landscape for 100 mm-hmm. million years, right? So, or thereabouts, in terms of domination. So obviously they were doing something right in terms of reproduction. It's just so very difficult to really pin it down, like exactly how they were doing this. But it's also kind of fascinating because we don't know exactly.
Yeah.
We've got some interesting theories.
So before we get back into the grisly details of Jurassic sex.
Sorry, I had to do it.
the brown chicken, brown cow thing?
a naughty music sound that
yeah,
I was
yeah, the brown chicken.
What's the brown chicken?
It's like a joke about, I forget how the joke goes now. But the punchline is, it's brown chicken, brown cow. And you're supposed to say it like brown chicken,
brown
cow.
Oh, brown chicken, brown cow. Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I totally butchered that joke, though, so my apologies.
I'm not even quite sure what it is, and I love it.
But anyway, so how do we know anything about what dinosaurs or any prehistoric creature did or did not do?
Yeah.
It all comes down to, it's kind of like solving a crime. There are several different ways of figuring out what happened, several different lenses we look through.
Get the forensics out.
Yeah, they depend on, first, there's cladistics, which is a method of hypothesizing relationships among organisms.
Mm-hmm.
You can think of it as creating a family tree with blank spaces for unknown ancestors. They also turn to molecular sequencing, in which they reveal the hierarchy of relationships among different organisms by comparing their molecular details. So think of it, again, as a family tree, only this time using DNA evidence to figure out what goes where on the chart.
Right.
And then there's the fossil record, which is quite incomplete. I mean, that's just the fossil record.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. Sometimes people will criticize that, like, oh, well, the fossil record is incomplete. How can you prove this, that, or the other? Well, that's because we're using it along with other tools.
Well, and it's a blueprint of sorts, right?
Right.
So you've got to go along something here.
Yeah. So here's the reason it's incomplete, or the primary reason. Sediment has to cover an organism's remains in order for the long fossilization process to begin. And most organisms decompose before this can happen. I mean, think of it. You're some sort of prehistoric creature out there.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be covered in basically covered in mud after you die for your form to be preserved in fossil.
Right.
So if you live in the mud, great. You've got a leg up on this fossilization process. But if you live in the desert, maybe not. Or if you only occasionally go near the water to drink, then it's a question of dying at just the right moment.
Right.
And in just the right circumstances. And, so that's why, like, trilobites, the ancient marine arthropod, are a rather common fossil. While a T-Rex is far rare because it's large, it's land-dwelling, and it's a top predator. So there's a very small percentage of the population. Trilobites everywhere, but a T-Rex, think of it like a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the T-Rex is at the very top. And, like, for every one T-Rex, there's got to be the next level is, predators and prey is a little larger, and the one below that is a little larger, all the way down to all the different herbivores that they eat, and then the grass that the herbivores eat.
Right.
So your T-Rex, your top predator fossils are pretty rare. And so even rare that you would find evidence of, say, a T-Rex engage in a particular activity, especially sex. Also, fossils may be set in stone, but they are not figuratively set in stone because
right.
they can be destroyed. And then there are a lot of fossils that we haven't found and we'll never find. Like, if there's a fossil of two T-Rex doing it and it just happens to be on the earth under, say, the Vatican, we're probably never going to get that fossil. That's just, something important, and you're going to give up on that.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So it's a question, right, of the soft tissue preservation, right, and actually having reproductive organs intact, which is,
yes.
I mean, that's never even been found in a dinosaur before. So the thing that we can do is to look at the common ancestors, right, for
right.
a little bit of a clue. In particular, alligators, crocodiles, and birds for
yeah.
dinosaurs, like velociraptors.
Yes, and just think of it. We see naked birds all the time, and there's nothing really, really all that scandalous about it, right? Why? Because they have what is called a cloaca.
That's right, a cloaca. And this is a cloaca. How do we talk about a cloaca? It actually, in Latin, it means sewer. That's a lovely introduction. But it's basically an opening for urine, excrement, and sex. And we know that crocs have this, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we also know that female titanosaurs are more like a croc, given the analyzation of well-preserved titanosaur eggs, which are rounded like a croc instead of oblong like a bird. So they've sort of extrapolated with that information and said, okay, since, you know, the titanosaur had round eggs and they were laid in big clumps, much like crocodiles, let's take that logic and extend it out and say that they possibly had a cloaca like a crocodile does.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, more cloaca. Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use this directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
I think one way to think about cloaca is to think of like Barbie and Ken, and how, you know, like Barbie and Ken, I think, would essentially have cloacas.
I'm sorry, I'm like, okay, yeah, go ahead.
And I'm if my wife is probably listening to this podcast at some point and cringing because she has this weird fear of birds or avert. She likes birds,
right?
But they kind of creep her out with some of the things, like their black beady eyes and their beaks and their tongues and their cloaca.
Yeah, she doesn't want to know about the cloaca.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a great little bit here talking about the possibility of dinosaurs having cloaca from Carmelo Amalfi of Australia's Cosmos magazine,
yeah,
which has an online presence. It's really cool as well. And this is what this author says. Quote, if dinosaurs also had cloaca, according to theory, penetration would have occurred when the male cloaca filled up with blood and bulged out into the cloaca of the female, much like a couple of plumber's plungers pushing up against each other, unquote.
And this, folks, is called the cloacal kiss.
Yes.
By the way, which sounds like an STD, I have to say.
Yeah.
Like, kids, watch out. Don't get the cloacal kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're shaking your head. But that's what the cloaca is, or what they think it is in the dinosaurs and how it may have operated, so to speak. And also we should say here, too, that within the cloaca for the male, the penis would have been concealed. If dinosaurs, in fact, had penises. I mean, there's a possibility that they actually just ejected semen from one cloaca to the other. You know, actually in that whole sort of with the plumber plunging setup that you just talked about. So it's basically sort of like backing up the cloacas next to each other.
I'm picturing it in my mind now.
Ejecting the semen from one cloaca to the other. This is science.
Sometimes science is pretty gross.
It is. Again, this is why it's like, oh, dinosaurs, really?
Yeah. You talk about the possibility of dinosaurs actually having a member, as it were. The late British paleontologist L. Beverly Halstead wrote back in 1988 that he thought if they were humped like birds, they'd have to get past that thick, powerful tail in order to do it. So they would need to have a corkscrew-shaped penis about 3 meters long. But then Halstead goes on to say, quote, yet there is no evidence that they had such a grandiose organ. Maybe they lay side to side, male to port and female to starboard, and sort of snuggled up together, bottom to bottom.
Oh, yeah, there are all sorts of different positions that people have imagined for this. And
yeah, like I've heard, like, house cat position.
House cat, where the female would get down on the elbows and then raise the hindquarters up in the air.
Okay.
So,
like when you pet a cat and their butt comes up.
Right, goes, hey, scratch my butt. Not that the dinosaurs would be saying that.
Well, I guess, if you petted them on the head.
I don't know. I mean, it depends. Like, are we talking about a stegosaurus here? Because, I mean, just even the act of petting could be dangerous. Right? And this is another reason why it's kind of hard for us to wrap our minds around it. One, because, of course, we're coming at this as mammals, right? We've got our own ideas of how sex happens. But another is because we know that all the different plates and the pointy parts, depending on the dinosaur, can really make the act difficult. So, again, that's why there are all these different theories. The behind mount is one that is really very popular. It's thought that, like giraffes and elephants, that this would be the most common position. But it's also pointed out, as you pointed out, that thick tails, plates, and weight distribution would make this really difficult.
Yeah, weight is a big one. And then just general size. Like, there are some discussions about how, like, say, a long-necked dinosaur.
Yeah. Like how, Brontosaurus?
Yeah, there are some discussions that, well, it could do it from behind, but it would need to keep its head horizontal because if it went vertical, then blood flow would be an issue. But then again, the giraffe is a classic example of how, even with that long neck, it has special adaptations that allow it to continually pump blood to the brain.
It has a giant heart, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're such a giant heart.
It is such a giant-hearted creature. And then there's also a 1991 scientific paper entitled Fusion of Caudal Vertebrae in Late Jurassic Sauropods. So again, we're talking about Brontosaurus here. They found that the fusions of the tail vertebrae closest to the pelvic girdle were common among these types of dinosaurs, possibly so that their tails wouldn't snap off during mating. So it's this kind of fusion that might only occur in female dinosaurs that could lift their tails and arch during mating.
But their tails don't snap off. Because that would be kind of interesting, too, if their tails snapped off like lizards.
No. I mean, the idea here is that the fusion was a little bit wonky, right, on that vertebrae so that they could get that arch in the tail. So that's a theory. Another theory is I like to call it the hot tub theory.
Oh, this is because of their weight and size, right?
Yeah. Larger dinos, right, if they're weighing around 100,000 pounds, would have the most difficult time in mounting. Without crushing each other, right, or maiming each other. So it's thought that they would go, like crocs, that they would just float in the water and that would give them some buoyancy and kind of give them a more gentle way to dock their cloaca, so to speak.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
And then there's, I think you already mentioned it too, there's a sort of a spooning action. They could have laid down on their sides or belly to belly.
Now, see, now that's adorable, the idea of dinosaur spooning.
Yeah, that one I can cotton to, because that doesn't seem too graphic. And it seems like they'd have some nice pillow talk there, too.
Yeah.
And then there's another one that seems, this one I really kind of, it seems simple enough, but I keep trying to imagine it. It's sort of a backing it up position, which they face opposite directions, and then they back up into each other, and again, they align the cloaca.
Okay. Now, there are some animals that end up in that alignment in the wild, I believe. Cloaca, but yeah, anyway. I think I saw it in a nature video once. But
yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's again, these are awkward things. I mean, it doesn't make, I have to say, it doesn't make dinosaur sex seem all that, like, wow, dinosaurs, they were really romantic.
It just kind of underlines how all reproduction is kind of weird, you know. It's just kind of weird and messy and not all that dignified. So we hate to think of our childhood friends engaging in this kind of activity, but they
although the hot tub part, I mean, that doesn't seem so bad either,
the hot tub thing, I guess, could work. It's, you know, It's kind of like they're flying. It's weightless and beautiful.
Right, right. They could be looking up at the moon and stars, reciting poetry to each other.
So maybe they do that, and then they spoon on the shore. I'll go for that.
There you go. Yeah, it's the plunging in the cloaca and the backing up. That seems a little awkward, I think. But, you know, we should probably talk a little bit about some courtship rituals, too.
Because, you know, they're not just doing it. They're probably engaging in some sort of activity. I mean, especially when you look at, if you look at any kinship to birds, I mean, birds have some of the most spectacular courtship rituals imaginable. You know, just watch a few episodes of Attenborough's The Life of Birds, and you'll see activity. They're just like, wow, these guys really had it going.
Yeah, they make it sexy, right?
Yeah. I mean, like all sorts of plumage, calls, building little
dances,
building little structures that have been decorated to woo their mate. I mean, it really gets phenomenal.
Right. Yeah, it's very cool. And again, we don't know so much about what dinosaurs might have done, but we can think about, again, like, you know, sauropod-like Brontosaurus, Apatosaurus, long tails, long necks. It's very possible that they might have done some sort of dance in which they intertwined their necks.
A sexy dance,
yeah. A slow dance, like a Valentine's Day dance together. I don't know. Fifth grade, hearts all around them. But in their tails intertwining too. So, and then again, with the males in the necks, it's very possible that they might have used those to tussle with other males or to herd other males away so that they'd have less competition with the female they were trying to mate with.
I like the idea of like a fearsome T-Rex, like spending hours and hours and hours doing some sort of silly, tedious dance to try and woo a mate, you know.
I like the idea with like the short little arms doing some sort of like, I don't know, neck and pop and locking thing. I don't know.
Well, that's the problem too with the T-Rex arms because they have those two little fingers.
Yeah.
So it looks like they're doing ironic quotation marks every time they say anything. They're like, I really love you. And then the other dinosaur gets all up in arms because they're like, oh, you love me? Great, I'm going to go mate with this other T-Rex.
Right, so we think communication is hard now.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it then. And then some other folks, too, if you think about the Thesaurus and the Pelesosaurus, those are the fin-backed, lizard-looking dinosaurs.
Oh, yes, like the, was it Dimetrodon? Oh, man, see, the 8-year-old me would be great on this podcast, if you remember that. There were two. There was the cool-looking one and the kind of plumper-looking one, and one was a carnivore and one was a herbivore.
The 8-year-old you right now would be crying under the table being like, what are you talking about? What do you mean they're having sex? But yeah, I mean, these are the crests that are, they're really ornate. And researchers think that they had developed as a way to woo the ladies, actually, because the crest got bigger and bigger and bigger over time. And they really didn't serve any function. I mean, think about hauling that sort of crest on your back all the time.
Well, I have heard that the crest could have been used for, to warm the blood. You send the blood up through those veins in that crest, and then the sunlight has more ready access.
Okay. Well, this one they were saying that because it kept getting larger and larger, they were looking at more like plumage.
Oh, okay.
And also that they could, maybe even use that to sort of look like they were bowing up against another would-be suitor. So, again, if you look at all these ridges and these plates that are on a lot of the dinosaurs, many of them could be used, to fight off other dinosaurs. And we already know that right now. But in the courtship ritual, certainly it could be like, hey, look at my nice ridges, my nice crests.
So there you have it, Dinosaur Sex. Classic episode, a lot of cool science in that one. And hey, if you want to reach out to us, let us know what you think about this episode, what you think about dinosaurs getting it on, or if you just want to make a cloaca joke, you can find us all the normal places. We're on Tumblr, we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, and our homepage is stufftoblowyourmind.com. That's where you will find our audio podcast, our videos, our blog posts, and links out to all of our social media places.
And you can always send us a line, and you can do so at blowthemind@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.